Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
I'm so thankful that you've joined us as we continue and actually should conclude our examination of the qualifications for pastors in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and perhaps today we'll even get started in the next section, which is qualifications for the selection of deacons. And I do want to express my deepest gratitude for those radio listeners who help us financially with the cost of maintaining this broadcast on this station. Well, we are now looking at the very last qualification, qualification number 16, which has to do with a candidate for ministry, a candidate for pastoral office, which has to do with the candidate's testimony, a reputation in the world. And that also has to be taken into consideration. The first 15 qualifications basically all have to do with his testimony before the church. But one has to do with his testimony in the community. And we read in 1 Timothy 3:7, moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Lest he fall into a reproach, that is, outsiders castigate him, outsiders revile him, outsiders run down the church and spread information or disinformation about the church, which would be very detrimental to its testimony in the community and its ability to represent the Lord and to minister in the community. And if these things happen, of course, for the sake of truth and the gospel and the cause of Christ, which they often do, then there is no solution for that. We have to be true to the gospel of Christ, regardless of how that's received by the world. And frankly, unless the Holy Spirit does a work in men's hearts, it will not be well received. But if that kind of negative sentiment in the community is the result of a pastor's dereliction of duty, a pastor's poor testimony in the community, then of course that can be helped. And that should have been recognized before he was ever placed in that office, the potential for that. And if this list of qualifications had been carefully studied and that particular aspect of his life had been examined, then that reproach would never have happened. He must have a good testimony among those who are outside. And that means, as we said on the broadcast yesterday, that people in the community should have no objection to the selection of this particular man. They don't have any input into the selection process. They can't have any say-so in who the church does select, but at least it should be clear that if the church selects this particular man, nobody in the community is going to be upset about that. They might as why they would select this man instead of another man. If they have general hostility toward Christ and the gospel, then of course that will be the same no matter who the church selects. This man, that man, another man, candidate A, B, C, they'll be hostile equally to all of them because of Christ and the gospel. But if the world would have no objections to candidate A or B, but they would have to C because of some poor testimony that he's had in the community, then the church needs to know that. And they need to not approve candidate C. That's what this is telling us. So, he must have a good testimony, lest he fall into the snare of the devil. And there are a lot of ways that this can happen. Sometimes when pastors who have been placed in this position of pastoral office and have some things in their past that do make for a bad testimony in the community, sometimes they tend to try to overcompensate for past failures. They try to make friends with everyone and win them over by friendliness, and may fear to exercise a strong, solid, biblical ministry. They may overcompensate by not wanting to preach all the truth of the Bible, the whole counsel of God, not being willing to preach against sin and to stand against it in the church and to say anything about it when it relates to the community, because you see they're trying to overcompensate for this past skeleton in their closet that they know the community is aware of. Or, in other cases, such a man may overreact to his past and become overbearing and legalistic and highly critical of everyone and everything. Sometimes that can be traced to a man's own personal failure, which he's trying to cover up by creating this cloud of smoke of suspicion of everybody else. Or he may become careless about sin in his own life. He may reason, if I could sin as I have and still be elected as an overseer, then I can get away with anything. And so there are a lot of reasons why this particular qualification needs to be seriously observed. And there are at least three reasons why a church ought not to select a man with a questionable reputation in the community. Number one, for the protection of the church. The world actually may know of some flaws in a man's character that the church has not seen and will harm the church later. So be sure that that's not true, that there is nothing like that in the case of this man, so that the church will not be harmed later by these flaws in a man's character, that if they are present and have not been dealt with and rooted out, and a good long time of demonstrating that they are completely in the past, if that's not true, then these same character flaws will come to harm the church that he has been placed in a position of responsibility over. And furthermore, this should be done, this qualification should be carefully observed, so that a man with a questionable reputation in the community is not selected, to protect the candidate himself for his own spiritual good. Remember the warning in the book of James, or in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." Let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we, and James now includes himself in this category, knowing that we who are teachers of the word, those who have been appointed to an official teaching position in the church, and of course that would be elder or overseer or pastor, knowing that we, said James, shall receive a stricter judgment. God holds teachers to a higher standard, a higher level of accountability than others, because to whom much is given, much shall be required. More is given to teachers than to others. Teachers have to have a greater understanding of the word than others if they're going to be able to teach the word to others. And having that greater understanding makes them now more responsible for obedience to the word of God. They shall receive a stricter judgment. It's interesting that this text in James is just the opposite of the thinking of so many people. Many people in our day are trying to persuade more and more people to accept the call to ministry, to surrender to the call of ministry. I don't know how many services I've been in where the preacher, evangelist, whoever, was laboring hard and long to get people to volunteer for ministry. Volunteer. God's calling some of you to preach. You need to surrender. You need to volunteer. God's calling some of you to the mission field. You need to surrender. You need to volunteer. Trying to get more and more people to do it. God needs more workers. And it's interesting that this statement in James 3:1 seems to indicate the opposite. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers. James seems to indicate that the danger is having too many. The problem is not that we don't have enough. The problem is that we have too many. Too many who aren't really qualified. Too many who aren't really where they ought to be. Too many who have mistaken an emotional tug for a call of God. Too many who do not really meet the qualifications that the Scripture requires. There can be too many pastors. And the problem often is not that we don't have enough. It's perhaps that we don't have enough of the right kind. But the problem is that we have too many. We have so many who really shouldn't be there, who really don't qualify. And that's what this is saying. All of these qualifications in 1 Timothy chapter 3 need to be taken seriously. And if a man doesn't have a good testimony in the community, then he should never, never be persuaded, never be encouraged to seek the office of a pastor. He should never be approved for the office of pastor. And furthermore, this is for the protection of the unconverted, to avoid unnecessary obstacles to reaching the unconverted with the message of the gospel. If you have a pastor of a church who has a bad reputation in the community, you can imagine what kind of barriers that presents for the gospel to people who are aware of that bad reputation. So, this is what Christianity is all about. This is what the church is made up of. This is the kind of men that can become pastors in the church. Thank you, but no thank you. I don't need that. And so what all of this is teaching us is that churches have a God-given duty to reject men who don't meet biblical qualifications. It's not a matter of loving them. Of course you love them. It's not a matter necessarily of whether or not you're willing to forgive them of offenses. Of course you're willing to forgive them. But just because a man has been forgiven doesn't mean that he automatically qualifies. It's a matter of testimony. A matter of protection of the reputation of Christ and His church. And we need to take seriously these standards for our pulpits, and we Christians need to apply these same standards to our own lives. We need to have a renewed emphasis upon godliness both in the pulpit and in the pew if we would desire God's richest blessings upon our churches in America once again. And so until tomorrow, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201, saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.